Good morning, friends. It's really good to be with you. I've come quite a long way. You spend about 21, 22 hours in a plane, and it's great to be with you. I often ask myself when I'm sitting in a plane with my knees under my chin, why am I doing this? But it really is lovely to be with you, and it's an immense privilege to be part of the lectureship that this community offers. I'm hoping that God can use my time with you. I'm aware that one of your emphases is the emphasis of prayer, and so I'm going to be focusing on the subject of prayer through the lens of the questions that God asks us. And I'm really hoping that as a result of our time together, that you will find God whetting your appetite for the journey of prayer. That's my prayer. I was praying early this morning and just saying, Lord, will you just whet our desire to go on a journey of prayer with you. So a huge thanks to you for this opportunity, and to your pastor, Michael. It's a great act of trust when you let someone else preach in your community. And I'm aware of that act of trust, and I honor it greatly. I come from a town that I don't think any of you most probably have heard of in South Africa. It's a town called Benoni. It's the closest town to the airport, international airport. If ever you arrive at the Oliver Tambo Airport, give me a ring. I can come pick you up at the Oliver Tambo Airport. The only way I can introduce Benoni to an American audience or congregation is that it is the town where the Academy Award actress Charlize Theron was born. I come from the same town as Charlize Theron. I don't know if you've heard that delightful story. I find it delightful. A little Johnny who is sitting in his granny's bedroom, and he's watching Gran rub some cream into her aging face. And Johnny is really intrigued by this and says to Gran, asks Gran, Gran, what are you doing? And she says, Johnny, I'm just rubbing some cream into my face. Why are you doing that, Gran? Well, Johnny, I just want to take the wrinkles away. And Johnny looks a little bit closer and says, Granny, it's not working. I wonder whether you ever feel like that about prayer. It's not working. It's not working. Perhaps sometimes you feel that you, day after day, are going through motions without a real sense of engagement with the living God. Perhaps sometimes you wonder whether your prayers are making any difference whatsoever to your own life or to anyone else's life. Perhaps you wonder sometimes whether God is just so busy running this expanding universe that God has any time to listen to some of the things that I want to say. Perhaps if you were really, really honest this morning, you would say to me, Trevor, you know, when it comes to prayer, sometimes I feel it's just not working. I find it significant. I don't know whether you find it significant, but I find it significant that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something, and there's only one occasion in the Gospels when the disciples asked to be taught anything, they're quite an arrogant bunch. I think they know everything. But there is one moment in the Gospels when they ask to be taught something. I find it striking that in that moment they ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. Maybe prayer just wasn't working for them. I remember in the early 90s when South Africa was finding its way into democracy, just before the first democratic elections, the Methodist Church, of which I'm part, called a conference called The Journey to the New Land. And we were trying to understand, trying to discern what were our priorities as a church as we entered this new phase of history. And we sent out a questionnaire to almost every Methodist. And as we went through over 25,000 responses from people in the city, from people in townships, from people in the rural areas, right at the top of the list, will our church teach us how to pray? How to pray. Now, friends, it's against this backdrop that I want us to explore the very first question that God asks in the Bible. And as we explore this question, I want to suggest to you that it takes us very deeply into what prayer is all about. You know the backdrop. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They have been given everything that they need for a flourishing human life. They've been given air to breathe, food to eat, work to do, and someone to love. What more do you want? What more do you want? We worship a gracious and generous and good God. There is only one thing, just one thing, not more than one, just one thing that they must not do. They must not enter into rivalry with God. That is precisely what they do. Precisely. Walter Brueggemann, an Old Testament scholar whom I respect greatly, says that is the defining pathology of our time. Our refusal to let God be God. Our refusal to take God's word seriously. Our desire to enter into rivalry with God. That action of disobedience plunges Adam and Eve's life into disconnection. They find themselves, as a result of their disobedience, disconnected from themselves, disconnected from each other, disconnected from the world, and disconnected from the living God. And it's against that backdrop that we come across, for me, one of the most beautifully haunting scenes of all of Scripture. In the cool of the day, God comes walking in the garden and he calls out to them with a question. Where are you? Where are you? And I want to place that question at the heart of our thinking and meditating this morning. Where are you? It's a question that takes us into what prayer is all about. Right at the outset, and let me say this, when you think about that question, where are you? It reminds us that prayer does not begin with us. Prayer begins in God's passionate desire to be connected with us. When God calls out, where are you? It's almost as if God is saying to Adam, to Eve, to you, to me, where are you? I want to connect. I want us to be in conversation. I want to share your life with you. I'm not going to gate crash. Where are you? Where are you? It's a question that reminds me that God's heart is passionately searching for me. You know, the wonderful thing about Christianity, just when I think about it, it moves me deeply. We are not involved with a God who kind of sits there in the distance, statue-like, with an unblinking stare. Huh? Bette Midler, I know you like her, but she gets it wrong. Nice song, terrible theology. From a distance, God is watching us. Terrible theology. We have a God who passionately desires us, who comes looking for us like a woman searching for a coin that is lost. Deeply desiring to be in connection with each one of us, no matter who we are or what we've done. That is God's heart. It is an open wound of love. John 3:16 just puts it magnificently. If there is one verse you learn John 3:16. That God loves this world so much that God comes, God's self. God does not send a representative, does not send a spokesperson, does not send an ambassador. God comes, God's self in Christ to find us. To be connected. And when we are touched by that reality behind John 3:16, prayer happens. The General Secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe a few years ago was handing out tracts on the street of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and came across a young man who said, I don't want it. I don't want it. And the general secretary said, please take one, please. And the young man said, if I take that, I'll just use the paper to make paper cigarettes. The general secretary said, please take one. 2 years later, true story, they meet at an evangelical rally. The general secretary goes across to this young man and said, are you the man who was going to smoke the Old Testament? And the young man said to him, you know something, sir? I smoked my way through Matthew. I smoked my way through Mark. I smoked my way through Luke. But when I came to John 3:16, I stopped smoking. Because that was when that passionate love touched his heart. Will you let yourself be loved today into prayer? Will you let your heart today be touched by the desire of God for you, for me? But come back to that question just for another moment. Where are you? It's a question that reminds us that if we're really going to pray, we need to come out of hiding. Adam and Eve are hiding. They've got fig leaves. They're in the bushes. Where are you? It's an invitation to come out of hiding. We hide all the time. I think of the man who goes to the doctor and he's really, really depressed. And the doctor says, I've got a great prescription for you. There is a clown in town. And his name is Grimaldi. And if you go there, you will laugh and laugh and laugh and your depression will lift. And the man said, it won't help. I am Grimaldi. We are all Grimaldi. Outwardly, we look as if we've got it all together. Inwardly, sometimes our lives are falling apart. Outwardly, we put a smile on our face. Inwardly, our hearts are broken. Outwardly, we go through the motions of faith and belief. Inwardly, we wonder whether God is really there. And when we hear this question, it is a question that invites us to come out of our hiding place into a real encounter between the real me, the real Trevor, not the exterior self, not impression management. It's coming as I am, just as I am, without one plea, O Lamb of God, I come. And it's in that moment of real encounter, prayer happens. When we go on that journey from duplicity into transparency, when we go on that long journey from falseness into truth, when we go on that long journey from deception into honesty. And it's in that moment when the real God encounters the real me, prayer happens. Transforming prayer. Transforming prayer. Come with me one more time, one last time, to that question. Where are you? Where are you? Just let it percolate in your own heart and mind and soul for a moment. It's a question that invites us. Please hear this. Please hear this. It's a question that invites us into honest conversation with the real God. It's a real question. God is not being rhetorical. It's a real question. God is asking you, where are you today? Where are you? One of the most deadliest ideas that some of us have about prayer is this. Why talk to God? Because God knows already. This isn't about giving information to God. This is about relationship. It's about intimacy. It's about transparency. It's about me sharing my heart with the living God. And it's when I begin to share the truth of my life with God, the truth of my joy, the truth of my sadness, the truth of my grief, of my uncertainty, of my worry, of my anguish, of my depression, of my despair, of my God-forsakenness. It's when I share the truth of that, that I begin to experience the interactivity of God in my life. A young man walks into my office and he asks me to teach him how to pray. I tell him what I've told you. He goes out and I don't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. He comes back. He bumps into me. He says, I say to him, how things are going? He says, I've got to stop sleeping around. I say, oh, what do you mean? He says, well, I've just been praying. God's been speaking to me. A few weeks later, he comes into the office and he says to me, I say, how's it going? He says, I'm praying. I say, what can I do? He says, have you got a book about Jesus for me? God's at work. God's at work. Just the other day, I meet him again and he says, is there any place in our congregation where I can connect with those in pain? I say, what? He said, no, I've been praying. That as soon as I begin to enter into conversation, I take just a step into conversation with God. I begin to share myself with God with words. I actually speak. I don't think. I speak. There's a place for meditation. There's a place for silence. And there is a place for sharing my heart. In that moment, I open the door widely for God to begin to move and act in my life. Let me stop. Where are you? Where are you? I hope that question is going to reverberate all day for you. Where are you? It's a question that takes us into God's passionate desire for each one of us. For each one of us, that at the heart of this universe there is a love that longs to be in communion with us. It's a question that invites us to come out of hiding. It's a question that invites us, maybe for the first time in our life, to get honest with God. Just a few weeks ago, I end with this, just a few weeks ago, Archbishop Desmond Tutu was in Benoni. He was speaking to some Anglican clergy. He's a wonderful man. I spent one night in jail with him, so I got to know him quite well. I mean that. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. And he used a phrase that I don't think, when it was shared with me, I will ever forget when he spoke to the Anglican clergy. He spoke about the tragedy of absence. That God longs to be in communion with each one of us. Sadly, our lives are often characterized by the tragedy of our absence. I pray that today you will step through that absence and become present to the God whose passionate desire is to be connected to you. God bless you, friends. God bless you. Amen.